Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, 9. Have you had a good week? Good. In the message that I brought tonight, when I was going back through this afternoon, I always try to review my verses. I got my red pen out. Maybe that's because I've been grading papers. And I circled one word over and over and over again. And you'll see that word. If you like to mark it in your Bible, I like to mark certain words. And tonight that word is faithfulness. We're going to look at the word faithfulness. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us as we look at faithfulness. And Lord, help us. Lord, we know that word, but help us to appreciate it a brand new way tonight with a freshness to our own spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom we were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Tonight we want to look at faithfulness. We're going to look at, first of all, the faithfulness of God. Dr. Bob Sr., I've just been thinking of a lot of the things I learned when I was in college. He said, greatest ability is dependability. Learning to be faithful. You know, I like that in the car, don't you? I go out and I stick my key in the car. I like it to start every time. And you know, the last car that we won, ones we're driving right now, it doesn't have a key, it has a push button. You know, you just get in, your keys in your car, and you're in your pocket, you push the button. I like to push the button. I'm used to my first car that I had that was like a third hand-me-down. You pump the pedal, you go, pump the pedal again, it started, you know. I'm thankful for the car I have now. Push the button, it starts itself. No cranking, no pumping. It just does its own thing. I'm thankful that God is faithful. I don't have to beg him. I don't have to go through all these little hoops to make God do something for me. My God's faithful to me. And one of the things that we learn in Scripture is that God holds us in his hand. We don't hold God in our hand. If we were connected to God by our own faithfulness, boy, would we be down the tube. But God is faithful. And you notice it says, God is faithful by whom we are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. How has he called us unto himself? It starts the day we got saved. And God's called our heart. Knocked at the door of your heart. Let me in. You said yes, I hope. And you probably wouldn't be here tonight if you weren't a Christian. I'm not going to assume that. But if you don't, that's where you start. But there was that day that we started a relationship and we let Christ in. And he's been faithful ever since that day to keep us in his hand. And so he's called us through his Son into a faithful relationship. And we need to be faithful unto him. We need to be faithful back. Let me ask you, how faithful back are you to God? But you know, he's called us unto a faithful fellowship. What is fellowship? Well, the old definition of fellowship, two fellows in the same ship. We're there with God, going through life into eternity. And God's called us close unto himself. And so that fellowship is in his word. That fellowship is the Holy Spirit indwelling. That fellowship is looking for quality time with God. I've been asking this question recently. I don't know if you've been feeling it. But did you read your Bible this week? Did you find time with God Monday, Tuesday? Have you found time yet for God? I'm glad you're here. I can't critique. But do you earnestly seek that fellowship? When I was in college and met Mrs. Butts, she was then Debbie Hodges, and I was getting to know her and like her a little bit more. I began to want to just be with her more and more, write her notes. Every night before I'd go to bed, I would write her a note, put it in the note system, and they'd run it over there. And then when I was in graduate school, they had the phone system, and I was staying off campus. I'd call her faithfully. We had a time. I mean, we didn't miss. And I looked forward to it. I'd set the alarm. I didn't want to miss. Boy, if we had devotions like that. Unto a faithful God, we need to be faithful a time with God in his word. Quality time. Not just blow-off time, but quality time. You know, quality time is not always quantity. Quantity's good, but quality's even better. Have you ever talked to somebody and you're really wanting to talk to them, but they're distracted looking at something else that's more important than you? You're trying to talk to them, they're more interested in somebody else in the room? That's not quality fellowship. Quality fellowship is when they look at you as an individual and look in the eye and they're interested all about you. we need to have quality fellowship with God. Where we, that's why we say go into your prayer closet. It's a place that's closeted, a place that's quiet. When I was in Bible college, first time I had five roommates. There's five of us. Where do you find quality time with four other guys running around in their activeness? You find time if you want to. And you just have to learn to find it. Some of you mothers, three or four children. It's hard. Mrs. Wesley was very often quoted. I think she had 12 children, something like that. And she would, after she did different things with each one of the children, she set a time for each one of them. She said, where do I find time? She would take her great big old apron and put it up over her head, and she had her Bible, and she just found quality time. Okay? So I encourage us. We've been called by a faithful God into fellowship through his Son, Jesus Christ. And this fellowship with him is very, very important. Our faithful God. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, a verse that we could quote. Matter of fact, if you can quote it as I start to read it, you please do so. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, there is no temptation taken you, but as such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Our God is faithful in the midst of any trial to help us. If God's allowed you to go through it, first of all, he said you were ready for it. Second of all, he said there's a way to endure through it. And if there's a problem, he said there is a way of escape. Our God never deserts us in the middle of a battle. He never runs out on us. Boy, there are a lot of people that say they're behind you, but when you're getting pushed gets the shove, they seem to do the shoving. Praise God that our God is a faithful God. Turn to Psalm 92, please. Psalm 92. This is the God that we love. This is the God that saved our soul. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness how often? Every night. Notice two words there, loving kindness and faithfulness. Every morning, our God is right there, lovingly faithful. He had loving kindness of God, and he gives me the grace and the mercy. God's mercies are new every morning. And here he says, he shows forth his loving kindness every morning. Every morning, he's right there, just faithful. And then it says, as we go to bed at night, thy faithfulness is there every night. I can end my day, put my head on the pillow after a weary day of all kinds of things that have transpired, who knows what it is, and know that God is faithful. And listen to me a moment. Why is that important? When you close your eyes for the next 8 hours, who's watching over you? You're pretty vulnerable, aren't you? I mean, those 8 hours, someone come in and chop your head off, stab you with a knife, house could burn down, you wouldn't wake up. I mean, every night, God is faithful to you. And he wakes you up the next morning in loving kindness and gives you another day. This is our faithful God. He doesn't desert us while we're sleeping. In the next day, I get ready to go. He's full of loving kindness. I have a very faithful God. Look at chapter 89, or I should say Psalm 89. Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. Well, that's a good verse, but now let's put it in context. We see here the same idea, loving faithfulness, loving kindness, and he will not ever allow his faithfulness to stop or fail. Now let's put that in context. Notice, if you will, verse 30. Jump up a few verses. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, this is a good thing or bad? We're not doing so good in those verses, are we? Then will I visit their transgression with the rod. Is God going to deal with our unfaithfulness? And their iniquities with stripes. Ouch! Right? But now look at the verse we just read. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him. When we don't deserve it, God is still faithful. Isn't that a wonderful verse? And there are a lot of times in my life, I don't know about you, but I say to God, God, I am so sorry for the lack of faithfulness. I didn't keep my promise. I wasn't focused. Do you ever feel that way? God doesn't match my unfaithfulness. He spanks my bottom. He didn't promise not to chastise his children, but he'll always be faithful to his own. That is a great comfort to us because we're prone to wander. Amen? Look on, he says, and nor will I suffer my faithfulness to fail, to cease, to stop. Faithfulness and loving kindness. This is God's promise to his children. Are you one of his children? Yeah, yes, I am, Pastor. These are wonderful promises to you and me, even when we don't quite deserve them. They're still there for us. And it's wonderful for us to be able to enjoy these promises. Turn over, if you will, please, if you will. No, Lamentations. I want to show you another one. Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Are there times God should just sort of wipe us out? Because his compassions, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Mark that and turn in your hymn book to 109, please. 109. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Third verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Lift it up. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto thee. Back in Lamentations, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto all them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that a great passage? Mark it somewhere. When you get discouraged, write down Lamentations 3, 22 through 26, and just go read it about 10 times. And remember, our God is faithful when we do not deserve it. So we look at God's faithfulness. One more, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, lots and lots of verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look at verse 22. Pastor Stephen, I asked one of the teenagers what you brought to Sunday school. I think it was you. They said you were going through 5. And I said, that's full of a bunch of little mini sermons. So it's a good passage to go. Good for you. But let's look, if you will, at verse 24, 5:24. Faithful is he. Who's the he? That calleth you. God's brought me to himself. He tells me to do something. Who also will, and I circle the next word. He calls me to do it, and then he will do it. God helps us to do what he asks us to do. Do you ever feel unworthy to do what God asks you to do? You know what? God said, I'm right there doing it with you. You can do it. If God's called you to do it, you can do it. And he said, I'll help you every step of the way. Sometimes when I'm encouraging people to come out and go soul winning, ooh, I'm nervous, Pastor. I said, you know what? I'll find a faithful soul winner that's got some lot of experience. And these first times you're out, we'll make sure you hook right with them. And they're going to try to get you, but they'll be right there in case you get in a jam. That always gives people a lot of confidence. Man, I'm not going to be out there stuck on my own. And isn't it nice to know that's exactly who God is? He calls us to do something, and then he goes right there with us, puts his arm around us, and he helps us to do. He gives us the strength and the grace, and he gives us all the energy that we need to do what he's called us to do. We have a faithful God who will also do it. And that's a great thing. Have you maybe felt like maybe you're in the midst of something, you can't do it? Well, you can't. With God, you can't not do it. It's very achievable. Do it with all your strength and all your power. So we've looked at God's faithfulness. Let's look at a few verses about now our faithfulness to God. Probably the most well-known is Proverbs 20, verse 6. Turn there, please. We'd all agree that God is more than faithful. No doubt to it. We sometimes doubt it by practice, but not in our head. Proverbs 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find him? A lot of people say, but what it's not in the saying, it's in the doing. It's not in the promising, it's in the living. It's not in the raising your hand, it's going out and doing what you say you're going to do for God. Most men will proclaim, I love Jesus, I want to serve him, I want to read my Bible, I want to bring soul, I want, but being faithful to God is very, it's rare, it's a quality that we need to really ask God to help us. Lord, help me to be faithful. Years and years ago, when I was called to be a preacher and started the church, I honestly felt very unworthy. And I often look back and I think, why did anybody even come when I was 25 years old and starting a church and listen? I mean, just a young, wet behind the ears preacher. But I also remember many times thinking this, I may not be the most perfect expositor of Scripture, I may not be the most perfect this or that, but one quality you can have, if you make up your mind about God's will to do it, you can be faithful, Richard Betts. There's no reason any person in this auditorium can't make up their mind by God's grace to be faithful. It doesn't matter if my wife decided not to be faithful, if my children are not faithful, if my parents are not faithful, if the neighbor's not faithful, if everybody else in the church isn't faithful, I, by God's grace, can be faithful to God. I've said this before. There are times that people come and go out of churches. That's unfortunate. Family squabbles, different things happen within a church. Those things happen. But you know, whether I'm at Westside Baptist, Eastside Baptist, Southside Baptist, or Northside Baptist, I don't care where I am, I can be faithful to God. Men may disappoint me, but God never. I just challenge you with all my heart this evening. Make up your mind to be faithful back to the faithful Creator that loves you. Have you made up your mind that you're going to be faithful? Well, I'm thankful when I grew up to be around some faithful men. One that took me to church in the morning was Dave Lyons. But I tell you, he was faithful as long as I ever knew. Every Sunday afternoon, he would go to the prisons and he would minister. After he milked the cows, went to church, taught Sunday school, sat the services, come home, eat lunch, feed the cows, go downtown and preach in the prisons. And then he'd come back home, milk the cows, go to church. And he had to be tired every Sunday when he got home. He did that till he was only 75 or 80 years old. just faithful. The man that took me to church in the evening was Ken Brodigam. Ken's family had kidney disease. Every one of his brothers all had kidneys that started to fail at 40, some about 50. They're facing dialysis. And it's just sad to watch these strapping men just sort of go down in their body. But I remember he was a plumber, and he did do jobs. He had to sort of sit down and plumb and get up and sit down and go rest in the van and come back out. But he never missed a service until the last month before he died. I remember going home long after I was gone away, and I would go on Wednesday night, and Ken wasn't there at prayer meeting, which was sort of surprising because he's always there. But in the back door, here would come Ken, maybe a little bit late, and he'd come and lay down across the back seat in the pew. And I remember asking one of the men, I said, you know, Ken doesn't look so good. Yeah, Wednesdays is a dialysis day. And he goes there and he comes straight from dialysis and sometimes gets in a little late, but he never misses prayer meeting. He made up his mind a long time ago to be faithful. Let me tell you, Christians, faithfulness is mostly a commitment and a state of mind. And then with God's help, you are able to do what he calls you to do. I'm just talking about attendance. God's given you a Sunday school class. He's given you a family to raise. He's a stewardship of the word. God can help you to be a faithful man or woman. Teenagers, this is a quality that you can have that would make you rare above other teenagers, is to learn to be faithful. Though nobody else is faithful, you can be faithful. And so we find that a faithful man. Who can find? Where is that faithful man? In Revelation chapter 2, let's go over there, please. By the way, we're going to start in the book of Revelation in 3 weeks on Sunday night, the 22nd. That was a little advertisement. Revelation chapter 2. Remember the seven churches? Here we find the church of Ephesus. What did the first church have a problem with? Nevertheless, thou hast... They had left their first love. That's right. Look at verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Let me make sure I got the right reference there. Hang on. Just hang on a second. My mind slipped. Verse 10 is where I want. I thought maybe we're in Smyrna. For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful how long? Has anybody been here? Have you ever known anybody in any church you went to that had to die because they went out and visited their Sunday school class? Because they went to church on a Sunday and the next day they were crucified? I don't think so. We don't really have any idea about this, do we? But I want you to look again. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown. A crown of life. A crown of faithfulness. Living for Jesus to death. How committed are you to Jesus? Do you love him so much you'd die for him? Will you suffer for him? What will it take to get me to turn back? How faithful have I made up my mind to be? So we need to be faithful unto our Lord. Look at Nehemiah chapter 7. We're going to look at a third thing tonight, God's faithfulness, our faithfulness to God. And then there's another area of faithfulness we'll just touch on briefly with two verses, maybe three. Ezra, Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. Now it came to pass when the wall was built, and I had set up the doors, and the porters, and the singers, and the Levites were appointed. So were people being put into work for the Lord? Were they being called into positions? I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem. For he was a what? Why did God promote this man? Because he was a faithful man. And he feared God above many. What was the outstanding characteristic of this man? God-fearing, faithful man. I think almost any Christian here that's been saved for a while, the idea of the fear of God is something that you sort of evolved in. Is that true? It was true for me to understand the fear of God. I think every time I've got a good handle on what the fear of God is, I find a whole new dimension on really having an awesomeness of my God. This man feared God above many his equals, and God counted him faithful to be governor. Can I say that God, and the point we're making, point number three, God wants faithful men to serve. To serve. Not sit back and watch. To serve. And this has been the call through all generations. I've heard it from preachers my whole life. I read about it. It's in every generation to get men to step out and accept the call of God to do something above their equals. First of all, God looks for men that fear him. He looks for faithful men, and he looks for men that will accept the call. Brother Austin did not know that I was going to be speaking on this tonight. But today we had a few minutes together to work on things, and we just got chatting for a few moments about when we were 15, a couple years ago. And we talked about when God called us. And we confessed to each other that neither one of us felt like God was making a very good decision. And, am I right? Yeah. And, but we just obeyed God, and God just promoted us and worked us. It was an obedience, and we got done. We said, let's have a word of prayer, and we prayed something like this: Lord, help us to be faithful to the end. That's a heart attitude. It's an accepting of a call, of a faithful man's acceptance of a call to do whatever. Whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's to hold your finger in the dike. Maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's to be up on a deacon board. Maybe it's to be a pastor of a church. Maybe it's to surrender your family and go to be a missionary. And I've been reading some missionary biographies. It's amazing to me that the missionaries, late 1700s, early 1800s, often lost several family members on the mission field. I think many people would have come home and then blamed God. But they were faithful, many of them to death. We need to learn to be faithful in service, not just in word. Let me ask you, are you doing what God wants you to do to the full potential of his call? That's not for me to quite figure out for you. That's your job. When God speaks to you and he says, step forward, do you make excuses like Moses tried to at first? He didn't feel worthy. So I just challenge us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2, most men, it is required in a steward that man be found faithful. The faithful Lord Jesus Christ calls us to be faithful to him. And that faithfulness, we said point number three, is to serve. Get off the bench and serve. If I were preaching this message to any part of our church, it'd be this group right here. This is already a group that fears God enough to come to prayer meeting. Amen? But can I challenge you a step further in your faithfulness? If God speaks to you about any step of faithfulness, will you do it? I say this every once in a while. My favorite word in the New Testament is the word translated immediately or straightway. It's the same Greek word. The Lord says to so-and-so, and immediately. God says, and straightway they, and immediately, and straightway, and he straightway, and he immediately. That's the way we ought to be as Christians. That God, we're his servant. That we're obeying our faithful God faithfully until he calls us home, even unto death. And what's he promise us? He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us all the way. Faithful is he that calls us, who will also do it. Wonderful, a lot of truths on faithfulness. I have four men that I've asked to give a few thoughts on a verse. And I told them, please don't preach a sermon. I'm already going to do that. But I want them to close up with four verses. Fred, would you stand and read your verse? Step forward a little bit so they can hear you here, if you will, please. Brother Austin.
1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required that stewards of the man be found faithful. A steward is somebody who has been recognized as a servant, but who is able to carry out responsibility. And is one that serves his master. And the master is deemed and trustworthy. So he's given a trust to take care of in the position of his master.
That's a huge one. And then Jim? God looks for faithful men to commit things to the next generation. The next generation is going to take what we pass on because they've been passed on to us faithfully. It's our job to be faithful. And then the last person was Brad. I like the idea that he's a faithful creator. I mean, he's the one that made us. And he can sustain, he knows all about us, and yet he's called us. Amen. What's God looking for? Faithfulness. And he likes to enjoy our fellowship. And he's called us unto himself. And he has promised undying faithfulness, even in the face of our lack of faithfulness. So tonight, I would just remind us, even if I choose not to be as faithful as I should, God is still going to be faithful. So we don't do just to get from God. God's going to already be faithful. But he calls us to that characteristic. Heavenly Father, I pray that you touch our hearts, that we would be the faithful servants. And Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.